Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Been thinking all weekend about what Oz Guinness has rightly called our Augustinian moment. We might also call it our Daniel moment. If we think back to Rome, it was considered the eternal city, a civilization so revered by our American founders that it was thought to be, well, undefeatable. The empire strode through its own epic of history like a colossus. And when we think about that, we recognize afresh that civilizations do ebb and flow, but that not even the gates of hell can prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. 12 disciples transformed the face of history. And that transforming power is what must be understood again today if we are to have an Augustinian moment or a Daniel moment. We are called to be sanctified makers of history, Daniels in our own generation, those who are fearless, not faithless, those who are led by the Spirit of Almighty God to be catalytic in an awakening that is genuinely global in perspective. The globalization of the gospel is an achievable objective, and it is made possible in our epoch of time by mass media and technologies, which are our equivalent to the universal Greek language in the first century and the Roman roads that facilitated the spread of Christianity. As such, we are called in our generation to disciple the global South. I'm talking about places like Asia and Latin America. But we're also called to regain the Western world for Christ. The global South has well been described as a mile wide and an inch deep, and its adherents are but one problem from reverting back to pre-Christian practices. And for its part, the Western world has been transformed rather than being conformed, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. But just as the West has been won and lost two times before, it is time for us to set our hearts and minds on recovering a polluted Western Christianity once again. And this is not a time for idle dreams or speculation. The time has come for us to act and pray. We must be willing to do for Christianity what ISIS is willing to do for a lie. This is one of the reasons that we're asking people to support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute with a passion, prayerfully and financially. As Chuck Colson once said, the crisis that threatens us, the force that could topple our monuments and destroy our very foundations, is within ourselves. The crisis is in the character of our own culture, where the values that restrain inner vices and develop inner virtues are now eroding. Why? Because unprincipled men and women, disdainful of their moral heritage and skeptical of truth itself, are destroying our civilization by weakening the very pillars upon which it rests. We are mining the subjunctive. We are cultivating the seed of threat buried in each unrealized instance when we talk about the threats from without. Let me say it plainly. The threat is from within. The crisis is not political. It's moral and spiritual, and so is the solution. And again, that is why it is so critical that the Christian Research Institute improve and strengthen its current infrastructure and capacity. Stated more biblically, before lengthening our cords, we must strengthen our stakes. Enlarge the place of your tent, said Isaiah. And let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And that is precisely what we are committed to do at the Christian Research Institute. And again, why we're asking you to be part of a move of the Spirit of God. When you give all this month, I want to send you a resource that will be greatly helpful in strengthening your own resolve. It's called Christianity on Trial by Mark Lanier. It's a fantastic book. There's so much nonsense out in the market today. I was listening to an interview this weekend by Hannity, and I won't go into the details, but I was thinking, wow, the apologetic poverty of our epoch of time is frightening. But here is a book that really will strengthen you. Christianity on Trial, again, is the name. It's available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy with your gift on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember that you can also talk to our resource consultants online, 888-7000 in the letter CRI. I should say not online, but via the phone. Again, 888-7000 in the letter CRI. But whatever you can do right now would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We need your support. Please stand with us. It is crucial as we strengthen our stakes and lengthen our cords. We want to make a difference while there is yet time, and Christian Research Institute is poised, I think, like no other organization to do just that. So please support us today. A lot of you hanging on, as always, the number to dial to get your question answered live, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. First up, Jennifer in Georgia, listening on NRB television. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I really enjoy your show. I really appreciate your faithfulness and your intelligence, your study of God's Word. And it makes it very clear.
Thank you.
The question I have is from Matthew 11:12. It says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Very strange to me.
Yeah. Well, context, context, context. I mean, there were revolutionaries at the time like the Zealots. They wanted to establish the kingdom by military power and might. But Jesus said that the force that was needed was spiritual. It was courage. It was power. It was determination in the face of persecution. It's the same kind of thing that we can say today. I mean, we feel as though, as I was talking about in the monologue, that the Christian Research Institute is perfectly poised to make a difference. But the reality is that unless this is a move of the Spirit, what we do in vain. And this is what Jesus is emphasizing so clearly. You can have the military might, you can have the force, the technologies, the mass mediums of our day, which are very much like the Roman roads or the universal Greek language in the first century, but unless it is animated by the Spirit of Almighty God, all of it is vain pomp and circumstance.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. I have felt in my life just the last 6 to 8 months just a great drawing by God's Spirit to go deeper and deeper into prayer for all Christians everywhere, for the missionaries, for the work of God in every facet. It's almost been just almost an irresistible pull. And, of course, witnessing when I can and giving to God's kingdom, but I was thinking the other day that this is such a small thing to give, but I was reading one of Dr. Charles Stanley's book, and he said, he was quoting one of the famous fathers, and they said, the absolute most important thing a Christian can do is intercessory prayer for every person that God has brought in your sphere of influence, in your knowledge, those that might need salvation or help, or all of the ministries that are out there that are so worthy of growth and to be sustained. And I have just felt a great call to go in deeper and deeper into communication and prayer for all Christians everywhere.
Well, what you've just said is beautiful and profound, and I hope everybody picked up on it. And not only what you said so eloquently, but the you know, the essence of prayer that you have been called to by God Almighty.
Yes, I think it's important, and it's this scripture that you enlightened for me sort of reinforces that. It's that all the money in the world and the power and all the things out there and all the evil and everything is no match for God and His kingdom when it comes into our hearts and when it acts through us to accomplish His will. And we should never feel like that we are left alone or we're powerless. As long as we stay close to Him, draw from His Spirit and His great promises to us, even one person can accomplish a tremendous amount.
The power of one.
We may not know it all in this earth, but in the next world, it may be revealed to us. But I think it's a time for courage, and I think it's a definite time for prayer.
Beautiful. Jennifer, thank you so much for calling, not only your question, but your contribution.
Thank you, Hank.
Bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Stephen. He's listening in Ohio. Hi, Stephen.
Thank you, Brother Hank. My question concerns the incident after the birth of our Lord in Luke chapter 2, verse 22, where in the King James Bible it says, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." And in my studies, I found that in the English Standard Version, and others, but in the English Standard Version, which has become so popular, the Lutherans have made it their Bible in their Lutheran study Bible, the English Standard Version. But what it has done is they have taken the word her out and replaced it with the word there. Now, I can understand her, that means Mary. The word there, that does not mean just Mary. That could very well include Jesus. It makes it unclear. My question, Brother Hank, is, do you think that word change should have been made? And isn't the word her closer to the truth of what took place?
Well, I think it's the essence, but the law required that an offering of an unblemished lamb be brought. And if the mother was not able to bring a lamb, that she would bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. But in essence, not only is it important for Mary and Joseph to offer turtle doves, but Christ is the unblemished Lamb of God. And so in perfectly fulfilling the precepts of the law, they're offering Him up as well. So I think there's a beauty or an elegance in the passage in that, yes, this is about Mary's purification, but it involves not only just Mary, but Mary and Joseph, as being the subjects of purification, but it also, in the eloquence of the passage, includes Jesus being offered up because he is the Lamb of God, offered up for the sins of the world. So I think there is an elegance in the pure in the plural, and I think it's perfectly appropriate. I don't think that it is a misstatement of the passage or the intent that is inherent, or as I just mentioned, the overall profundity of what is going on in the purification of Mary, Joseph, and the offering up of Jesus as the unblemished Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And we're just a week away, or 10 days away, I should say, from an evening in Kansas City. If you haven't heard about it and you're anywhere in the area, you can attend when you get tickets. Check this out on the web at equip.org/events. Be back in just a bit.
Like it or not, your faith is increasingly on trial. With that in mind, could you persuade a skeptical jury that your beliefs are anything more than wishful thinking? In Christianity on Trial, renowned trial lawyer Mark Lanier summons a host of witnesses from across the centuries to provide compelling evidence for the Christian faith. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this. Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. With America's largest church and 1 billion impressions per month on Facebook and Twitter, Joel Osteen is the hip new personification of God talk in America. But behind the glowing self-affirmations, there lies a darker theological hue. Other topics include the new theistic evolutionist, biologos, and the rush to embrace the consensus. What is the connection between Sundays, the sacraments, and our resurrection? Why the followers of Jesus recognized him as divine, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. If your beliefs were put on trial by a jury of aggressive atheists, would the evidence of your faith be sufficient to acquit you? I hope so. But the sad truth is that many Christians today would simply wither under the prosecutorial fire of well-educated secularists. That's why you'd do well to read Christianity on Trial, a timely book by one of America's leading trial lawyers. Also a Bible scholar, attorney Mark Lanier summons to the witness stand leading historical figures to render a verdict on Christianity. From a cross-examination of Augustine and Descartes to Darwin and Nietzsche, you'll learn whether Christianity has the evidence to stand up in court. You won't want to miss Mark Lanier's new book, Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Al, listening in Washington, D.C. on the World Wide Web. Hi, Al.
How you doing, Hank? It is a great pleasure to talk to you again. My question is, I am a recently ordained elder and soon to be a pastor, but I got to be honest, I have a real fear. After listening, you know, to your show and your broadcast, you know, hearing you talk about life and truth, how much they matter. And because I come from a background with a lot of false teachings and things like that, there's just a real fear in me, you know, to go forth with the pastoring. I feel the call, but I just want to make sure that, you know, what I'm doing is right, the direction I'm going in and what I'm telling people is right. And I wanted to know if you had some advice and some resources that you would, you know, could point me in the direction of.
Yeah, I do. You know, Al, my absolute conviction is that as a pastor, as a teacher, it is crucial that you have mastered the art and science of biblical interpretation. Let me give you a poor analogy. I have been an addicted golfer for over 50 years. And I still continue to work on the fundamentals of the golf game. Listening to Ben Hogan, who is probably the best teacher ever on the fundamentals, he was convinced that an average golfer could be a very respectable golfer if he just mastered the fundamentals. And I can't tell you how many times over the last 20 years I've read and reread Hogan's Five Fundamentals. The reason being is there are little nuances that I want to master so I can continue to play at a high level, even though I'm now 64 years of age. Now, that's just an analogy. I think by way of that analogy, think about the fundamentals in the art and science of biblical interpretation that we as Christians ought to take far more seriously. I mean, golf is a game. But when you think about the Bible, it has the power to transform not only individual lives, but civilization. And therefore, we ought to master the basic art and science of biblical interpretation. And this is something that I'm utterly convinced anyone can do. Just as Hogan, who may have been the best ball striker in the history of golf, I'm just talking about pure ball striking, just as he was a master ball striker and yet believed that the average person could adhere to the fundamentals and have the same kind of prowess in terms of swinging a golf club, I think the same thing is true with respect to people who want to be those stalwart interpreters of the Word of God, which is necessary for everything in civilization, from human rights to jurisprudence, to every basic and fundamental tenet to civilization. If we can master the art and science of biblical interpretation, then we will be able to help others to do that as well. And then they'll understand the very book that gave significance to Western civilization, on which Western civilization was in fact built, founded, established. So my advice to you is to master those basics. And those basics are accessible to everyone. I've done a couple of things, Al. One is I put together a flip chart, which basically takes these fundamentals and makes them easy to master. And some of my inspiration actually came from how Hogan did that with the fundamentals of golf. I thought we ought to be able to do that so that it's accessible to everyone. Because it's not only important for you to master it, but to help other people to master it as well. I think the biggest problem we have in our epoch of time is that people simply do not know how to read the Bible. That's true in the Christian world, but it's also true in that people are attacking the Christian world from without because the Bible has been marginalized. Well, you know, Obama can say that the Bible teaches slavery. If he understood the art and science of biblical interpretation, he would never say such a thing. The Bible does not teach slavery. In fact, if the Bible taught slavery, that would be a deal breaker for me. I couldn't be a Christian. If the Bible extolled the virtues of slavery in a New World context, it would be a deal breaker.
Right. Well, I mean, I'd love to get that flip chart. Is there any other resources that you would say if you were to start with anything, start here?
Well, I've tried to make this a fundamental in a lot of different places, but there's a book that I wrote called Has God Spoken? And what that book does in the first half is it demonstrates that the Bible is the infallible repository for redemptive revelation, that you can absolutely trust the Bible as an authority for faith and practice. But the second part of the book deals with, if that is true, how do you apply this? How do you learn to read it for all its worth or mine it for all its wealth? So there is more of a cashed out version with all kinds of examples that are available to you as well. So that book is called Has God Spoken? And it's sort of my magnum opus in terms of a book that really deals with a subject that is critical, not only in terms of the defense of the Bible as authentic, but in terms of learning to read the Bible so that it becomes a fragrant rose open with all of its value for society.
Well, Hank, I thank you so very much for taking time to explain that and to talk to me at all. I really, really appreciate it because this is really a true desire. And again, I've witnessed so many people being destroyed by false teachings and things. I just can't bear it anymore. And again, it's a fear to go out and have that happen at my own hands. So I definitely appreciate everything you've said, and I will get those resources. And as soon as I get things in line, I am definitely going to be a monthly supporter.
Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Al and for the calling on his life, for his passion to serve you. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you would equip him and nurture him and set him up as a standard in our generation. Lord, bless him not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, so that he might as yet leave an indelible impact on our generation. And Lord, we pray this believing through the power of your Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God, bless you. Bless you. Thank you so very much, and bless your ministry.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Linda next in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Linda.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hanegraaff. First of all, of course, thank you so much for your devotion to the truth. And I also want to say how much I appreciate your callers who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. I just really love all the questions on your show, and they're so helpful. And God bless you, sir. I mean that from my heart.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to ask you, sir, in Luke 4, 1 through 13. I find those very fascinating verses, and I'm not quite understanding how Jesus, our Messiah and the Son of God, could ever actually have been tempted by Satan not to go to the cross. And I'm just trying to figure this out for a long, long time, and I'm wondering, is that temptation to be taken literally, or did God allow that so that we can understand how to fight Satan and stand strong in the faith by knowing and using God's word? Can you help me with this?
Yeah, both. You know, the accounts of the temptation, of course, are focused on God incarnate, who experienced all the essential physical and psychological needs that are commensurate with being a human being. He experienced hunger, and he experienced fatigue, and he experienced the desire for self-preservation. So God cannot be tempted, and yet Christ was tempted because he was one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. So though he was still 100% divine, he was not divested of a single attribute of divinity, yet he was tempted because he was 100% human as well. Now, Christ did not have any sinful proclivities that would incline him towards evil or to incline him towards Satan's temptations, but nonetheless, those temptations were as real as the very flesh upon his bones. In my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, I actually broached this question, and I give an analogy. The analogy is an analogy with respect to human beings who are born and conceived in sin, and as human beings that are born and conceived in sin, we can identify with being tempted to do something that we might be utterly disinclined to do. So a mother would never consider killing her own child, even if offered a life free from suffering herself. Nonetheless, the natural desire to avoid suffering would render the temptation absolutely genuine. So in that sense, you can certainly understand that even though Jesus did not have a sin nature that would incline him towards evil, the temptations were nonetheless authentic and real.
I thank you for that, and I get that completely. I'm just zeroing in and trying to all those other temptations I can gather very easily in my mind, but not going to the cross seems to be the ultimate changing of history and souls. And I'm trying to understand how to line that up with other temptations that you just described. I don't know what I'm missing here.
Well, you know, this so doesn't have stronger. To, you know, this doesn't have to be relegated to a temptation of Satan, though, because in the flesh, Jesus Christ himself agonized over going to the cross, such that he experienced hematidrosis, which is the idea of blood mixing with capillaries, such that you actually sweat blood. So it was such a horrifying proposition that Jesus said that if it is possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So obviously, Jesus, even in his humanity, was completely yielded to the will of the Father and was willing to suffer more than any human being, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind, so that we might be reconciled to God for time and for eternity. So he suffered metaphysically. We think about the physical suffering, but the metaphysical suffering would make everything pale by comparison. So the temptation was not only the devil, but also the flesh. And Jesus, in perfection, suffered but never yielded to temptation. Be right back.
Would you be ready to take a stand if your faith were on trial? Would you know which evidence would be admissible in a court of law? To say yes to these questions, you need more than mere faith. You need the answers that one of America's leading trial attorneys can provide. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The nonprofit organization BioLogos, founded by Francis Collins, promotes the view that scientific consensus on neo-Darwinian evolution is fully correct, compatible with Christianity, and should be deferred to by non-experts, despite recent scientific discoveries undermining neo-Darwinism. Has such uncompromising commitment to Darwinian orthodoxy compromised BioLogos' commitment to Christian orthodoxy? Other topics include ostenification and what it portends. How does sanctification work? You say you want a revolution and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Peer out into the night sky on a crystal clear evening. Chances are you can see about 3,000 stars. A mere drop in the celestial ocean, because astronomers confirm that the real number of stars in the heavens is on the order of 100 sextillion. If you could hitch a ride on a beam of light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years just to cross our Milky Way galaxy. To cross the universe, it would take you 93 billion years. Does the vastness and orderliness of the cosmos count as evidence for God? Learn what one of America's leading trial lawyers says in Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The nonprofit organization BioLogos, founded by Francis Collins, promotes the view that scientific consensus on neo-Darwinian evolution is fully correct, compatible with Christianity, and should be deferred to by non-experts, despite recent scientific discoveries undermining neo-Darwinism. Has such uncompromising commitment to Darwinian orthodoxy compromised BioLogos' commitment to Christian orthodoxy? Find out in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe online today at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go next to Jasmine, listening in High Point, North Carolina on WTRU. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, Hank. I just want to let you know I'm a huge fan, and you really helped my faith grow stronger over the past couple months. But my question is, right now I'm a biology major in college, and eventually I want to go to med school and become a dentist or dental school. But I'm constantly bombarded with, you know, secular ideas that completely contradict my faith, and, you know, how, you know, creation and how Earth was formed. And, you know, it gets to a point where you start to begin to doubt yourself. And, you know, you try to block those thoughts out of your mind and, you know, controlling your thoughts. But, it, you know, it's difficult when you're studying it and this is going to be a part of your life, you know, for the rest of your life, basically. So I just want to know, how do I deal with this? You know, and I know our calling as Christians is to spread the word. And how do you do that when you're faced with people who completely doubt you and, you know, they don't believe you and they think you're silly for believing in a God.
Well,
or God, you know.
Jasmine, this is one of the reasons that we've been offering Christianity on Trial all this month. I mean, I think it's an absolute must read. Because it does answer the most difficult questions, but also gives you a reality fix on the nature of God himself. Because many people within the culture have marginalized the idea of God to begin with. But even beyond that book, and I would really recommend reading that book at this particular time in your life, I think it'd be most helpful. But let me say, you can always go back to those pillars and posts. And that's what I do. When the winds and waves of doubt crash upon the house of your faith, you go back to those macro issues. The first being, God created the universe. Now, that's something that one should believe in an age of scientific enlightenment. There's no warrant whatsoever for thinking that nothing created everything, that life came from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. In fact, if you look at these things critically, you end up with the view of the Apostle Paul that the heavens declare the glory of God, that God's eternal power, his divine nature, are clearly seen through what has been made so that we are without excuse. Whenever you see something as grand as the universe, which has at least 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars, you know there has to be a galaxy maker, a star maker. Or if you think that there are 100 billion atoms of carbon in a pencil dot at the end of a sentence, you know on a micro scale that there is a God. So the evidence itself from the universe around us demonstrates that there has to be an uncaused first cause. And that leads to the second major macro issue, and that is, has that uncaused first cause revealed himself in time and space? And the answer is yes. Jesus demonstrates that he is God. All the fullness of deity dwelt in Jesus Christ in bodily form. And Jesus ultimately demonstrates that he is God through the immutable fact of resurrection. Now, you know, when you go to school, oftentimes you're faced with philosophical naturalism, which is very close-minded. It only allows for natural explanations for what you encounter in the universe. But the Christian worldview is open-minded in the sense that it allows for both natural as well as supernatural explanations for what you encounter. And this is the argument that Paul makes. There's something supernatural going on when Jesus Christ raises himself from the dead. No other human being had the power to do that, but Jesus did have that power. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 makes a four-part argument for how we can believe in the resurrection, not just as blind faith, but rather faith founded in a refutable fact. And then, of course, the attendant question, and this is the third thing I always turn back to, is the Bible a reliable authority for faith and practice? And the answer happens to be absolutely it is. All the evidence points in that direction. The Bible's unlike any other human book. It was written by human authors, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it does things that no human book can do. For example, it protects the future. And it does it with complete accuracy. If you look at today's modern prognosticators in the secular and in the spiritual world, you find out that they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. The Bible's 100% right 100% of the time. And that can't be pawned off to good luck, good guessing, or common sense. It has to be ultimately attributed to a God who spoke, not only who spoke in the universe, leapt into existence, but spoke through his Son and is speaking to us through his Word. So I go back to those three macro issues. God created the universe. Jesus Christ is God. Proved that he was God through the resurrection. And the Bible is a qualified authority on faith and practice.
Okay. Yeah, that helps a lot, Hank. Thank you so much. And I'm actually going to buy that book today.
Good. So, hang on.
Yes.
Hang on. I'm so glad. Read that book. You will be built up in your faith, I promise you.
All right. Thank you, Hank. You have a good night.
You got it, Jasmine. And for everybody listening in, Christianity on Trial, available to everyone for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And boy, could we use your gift. We are behind. It's really tough. You know, vendors want the resources, and justifiably so, for what they contribute, whether it's airtime or whatever it might be. And when you get behind, it becomes difficult. So whatever you can do at this point would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by. You can give by picking up the phone, talking to one of them, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone callers. We'll talk next to Chris in Atlanta, Georgia, NRB Television. Hi, Chris.
What is repentance, and is that necessary for salvation before we trust in our Lord for forgiveness for our sins?
Sure. I think all of us, Chris, have to come to the realization consciously that we are sinners. Some people try to block that out, but the reality is in the darkness of our own room or the quietness of the night, we all know that we're sinners. And yes. So a recognition of our sin leads to the recognition of a solution or the need for a solution. And that solution comes through that old English word that you mentioned, repentance, which has to do with a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the will. It literally means a U-turn on the road of life. It's turning and going in a different direction. And so, yes, we recognize that we are sinners. We must be willing to repent and then receive something, which is to say, God's righteousness in place of our own unrighteousness. So we recognize that there's a problem. We need to be willing to turn from it, but then receive the only solution that is offered humankind, and that is Jesus Christ, who can alone bridge the chasm between our sin and God's utter holiness and righteousness.
Absolutely. So the basically, it is recognition that we are sinners and that we realize our need to be saved.
Yep.
Okay.
And then we want to, and repent, of course, again, denotatively means a willingness to turn.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of the will.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That has been very helpful. Thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Abram. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Abram.
Hello. I have a question on praying. And since I have joined a new church, I go to prayer meetings. And basically, sometimes when I listen to people how they pray, it's like sometimes it sounds like they're telling God what to do. And also, I have a friend that I'm deeply concerned about. He's not living a Christian life. And what difference does it make if I pray for him?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the first part of your question. We need to line up our will with God's will as opposed to telling God what to do, because all we see is a snapshot in time. He sees the panoply of our lives. So obviously, his will is far superior to our will. As far as the second part of your question is concerned, it's sort of like asking, why wash your hands? If God intends your hands to be clean, they'll come clean without your washing them. If he doesn't, they'll remain dirty, no matter how much soap you use. Or why put on your shoes in the morning? Why do anything at all? The reason is that God has ordained that the work we do and that the prayers we utter produce results. So if you pull out a weed, the result is divinely guaranteed. The weed is no longer there. The good thing, however, is with prayer, going back to the first part of your question, the answers are not ruthless, like pulling out a weed, it's no longer there. God has ordained in his sovereign counsel that some prayers that we pray are simply received with the answer no. And again, it is because we don't know what's best for us. If we got everything we prayed for, we'd be in a lot of trouble. I mean, I've seen this in my own life. There are so many times I think something is best at a particular point in time, and I pray for it. And sometime later, when I realize how wrong I was, I say to God, thank you for not paying a bit of attention to me. There's another thing, though, that I want to point out in regard to your question, and that is that it's critical that we realize that prayer is not just about supplication. It's not just about asking for things, but it is an opportunity to build a relationship with the lover of our souls. And so we pray to have intimacy with God. That is the primary purpose of prayer.
Okay. So also, if another person, like if there's somebody out there that doesn't have anybody that's praying for them, it's not really, like, it's already God's will that they should be saved.
Well, God wills that everybody be saved, but God ordains not only the ends but also the means. And though it is non-normative, God saves people completely apart from human means as well. I love those who love me, the Bible says, and those who diligently seek me will find me, and God will ensure that the means are there, whatever they may be. Gotta leave it at that. I'm gonna stay right here for an extra hour. Once we sign off in about 30 seconds, continue taking your calls for the next hour. I'll record my answers to your questions and play my answers to your questions someday when I'm traveling. So for the next hour, you can call 888-ASK-HANK. I'll continue to answer calls. If you're hanging on again, I'll get to you. 888-ASK-HANK, the number to dial for the next hour. We'll continue answering your questions for the next hour. And thanks for tuning in for today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired
we need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.